Good afternoon. My name is Jane DeMarchi, and I'm the Vice President of Government and Regulatory Affairs for the American Seed Trade Association. ASTA was founded in 1883. It's one of the oldest trade associations in the United States. And we represent over 700 companies that offer varieties from alfalfa to zucchini and all production types, conventional, organic, and biotech. As many of you are aware, there's quite a lot of attention regarding declining populations of pollinators, and foliar sprays and seed treatments have drawn scrutiny. Because of the increased use of seed treatments across the industry, ASTA and CropLife, along with grower organizations like the American Soybean Association and National Corn Growers Association, are proactively engaging in education and outreach on stewardship for treated seed to ensure farmers will continue to have access to this technology. The Guide to Seed Treatment Stewardship was created to touch all aspects of seed-applied technology. Our goal is to emphasize stewardship practices across crops and treatment segments and to minimize the risk of seed dust exposure to pollinators and other non-target organisms during planting and disposal of seed. Our goal since launching the Guide to Seed Treatment in March has been to raise awareness through our website, media, and conversations with applicators and farmer customers. As part of Phase 2, which was launched this winter, we developed videos for farmers and have been taking these on the road when it hasn't been blizzarding to state grower meetings for corn and soybean and farm bureaus, as well as national meetings like the Beltway Cotton Conference and now here at Commodity Classic. In addition to our outreach efforts on seed treatment, we also are part of the discussion on the multitude of factors that are contributing to bee losses and are jointly looking for solutions. More research is needed on the interrelationship between dust exposure of active ingredients and honeybee health, and on other topics as well. Our members are working on ways to improve bee forage and to address the very serious problem of varroa mite, which was identified by USDA and EPA as the biggest contributor to honeybee diseases and hive losses. We've been pleased to have broad industry support for our initiative, and we hope that you'll join our efforts and spread the word as we get close to planting day. The videos are available on our websites, as are the brochures that we have targeted towards growers and applicators and the guide itself. And we welcome you to link to the guide website on your website. So far, we have 4,000 links from various websites to the guide website. Also, we've created, working with Iowa State University, we've created an additional module, education module on disposal, which can be used for folks who are certified pesticide applicators. And that's also being distributed through the American Association of Pesticide Safety Educators. So, and then lastly, in the future, we hope to have all of this translated into Spanish. So our efforts will be continuing. And with that, any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
What's been the reception from farmers that have run out of Farm Bureau?
I think there is a growing awareness with the farmers on the pollinator issues. I think that awareness is very regional. So for places like Michigan or New York, where there's a multitude of crops grown in close proximity, there really is a higher awareness of pollinator issues. And that's why we targeted the Corn Belt for a lot of our outreach, because I think the awareness level there is a little bit not quite as great. That's where we're going to target for the planting date communications as well.
Proactive. I mean, you're taking these steps so that you don't want to, you know, see in the future having to be regulated and take steps that you don't want that it be required to take.
We are trying to be proactive. I think we're all aware that the EU has gone down a different path and is very tightly restricting access to these technologies, which we think is unfortunate for growers. The neonicotinoid pesticides were introduced because they are less harmful to the environment, and they are more benign. And we think that they're also really helpful helping in protecting improving stand, protecting the seed for germination. And so we feel that there are very good reasons to use it, and it would be very short-sighted to not allow their use in the United States. But we also recognize that it's important to be proactive and to educate our farmer customers and our applicators that they have to be mindful of potential risks.
Are you engaging any ag retailers in this? And if so, do you have a few?
Well, we have ag retailers as part of our membership, and ARA is one of the supporting organizations as well. So they've been getting the information out as well. You know, we've been providing all of these materials for our members. And then, as you all are aware, many of our seed many companies have their own initiatives as well. So we're trying to have a lot of different ways that we're hitting folks.
Is this a culmination of the best data that's out there, or is there new information, or what's contained therein?
I think we feel that the stewardship guide reflected a lot of the information that existed out there in various different places, and we're trying to bring it all together into one place. I think going forward, you know, one of the things AST is doing is we're participating in something called the Corn Dust Research Consortium. So we're trying to be part of the research for the future to see if there are additional best management practices that can be brought into play.
Is it a strictly a pollinator issue, or is it preserving the efficacy of the product issue?
Well, the guide, and I urge you to go to our website to learn more about the guide, but it does actually start from the very beginning. So selecting the best seeds so that the adherence of the seed treatments will be the best, what you can do as you're developing those treatments and putting them onto the seed, so really making sure that the adherence is as good as possible, and then the transportation, and then down to the farmer level, how they should handle the bag of seed and things like that. So we're trying to hit on many different fronts. And there's also, you know, research that's being done on some of those coating technologies to try and improve, do other things that we can to improve and make sure the active ingredient stays where it's supposed to.
Any plans to push this out on an iPad or any mobile technology?
It is available mobily as well.
Are you reaching out to consumers in offering or helping them figure out ways that they can help by planting certain flowers and things like that?
Not as part of this initiative, but as an organization, we see the conversation around bee forage really growing. And we do have seed companies that are in that business of creating seed for pollinator forage, also for cover crops. You know, these things I think could be very beneficial in the future. And I see the industry coalescing on greater involvement there. And I think things like the recent announcement by USDA for additional EQIP dollars for pollinator forage, that will help as well. But I know I'm aware that there are other organizations that are promoting, you know, what you can plant and things like that.
What types of products are contained here? And I'm thinking, is it like insecticides, fungicides? What's the round of types of products?
So these are primarily pesticides, but on the seed treatments, there are a number of different products, fungicides, that are also applied for seed treatment as well. Thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate your showing up.